Before we open God's Word this afternoon, let's turn to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, even as we have already sung, it is with praise and with thanks that we gather here in this house of worship in this afternoon, recognizing how blessed of a people we are to have the freedom to look into this Thy holy Word of life, this Word that can give us life if we but heed the instructions that are written within. Father, gather our distracted thoughts that we would open our hearts unto Thee and to receive what Thou wouldst have for us in this afternoon, even as Thou hast already blessed us in this morning. For this we do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With God's help for this afternoon's reading, I'd like to turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 10, and read from verse 34 to the end. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to the end. We will pick up the reading here at verse 34. This is Peter, the Apostle Peter, speaking, preaching to Cornelius, a Roman centurion who is, him and along with another group of Gentiles, were looking to know what is the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is this new Testament. So the Apostle Peter here is explaining to them in a sermon here, a short message we have recorded from verse 34. Speaking about Jesus and what he has done. So we begin with the reading. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." And God bless the reading of his word, and let us bow. The first 33 verses that we did not read together contain a story, a lead up to this portion that we have read. And just to give a quick summary to understand the context, there was a centurion, a Roman centurion named Cornelius. He was a Gentile, and he was in Caesarea. And he had a vision. A vision of God came to this man Cornelius, this Gentile. And God told him, or a messenger from God told him, to send men to Joppa, the city called Joppa, where the Apostle Peter was, to hear the message that God would have for him to hear. And Peter was in Joppa. He was on a rooftop praying, and a vision. He also had a vision. It says the heavens were opened in this vision, and this white sheet came down from heaven. in this vision that he had, and there were all types of animals on the sheet. And God told him, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat. These animals that are on the sheet, kill them and eat them. This is given to you from me." And Peter's response was, "No, I will not eat these animals. This is against Jewish law. These are animals that I'm not allowed to eat according to Jewish law." And this sheet descended three times in this vision. Three times a sheet came down from heaven, and God said, "What I have cleaned, don't call unclean. Don't call it common. I have given it to you for a reason. You can eat it." And after these visions, Peter didn't really understand what the meaning of this vision was. That's recorded. He didn't really understand it. And these men from Cornelius came. Cornelius himself did not come, but his messengers came to Joppa, and they found Peter praying on the rooftop. And God told Peter that these men were here to see him, and God says, "Go down to them and speak with them, and don't doubt anything. I have sent them unto you for a reason. Don't doubt anything. Take it, accept it as if it is from me. And that's what Peter did. He went down and he spoke with the men that Cornelius had sent. And Cornelius sent them all, called them all back to Caesarea. So that's where Peter went. He went back to Caesarea with the men that Cornelius had sent. And he found Cornelius and many other Gentiles gathered together. And then it was at this time that Peter understood the message that God had for him in the vision. At that point, Peter understood that the Old Testament law was done away with. There was a new law, a new testament in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter understood the meaning of this vision, that there was no more dietary restrictions and that the Gentiles could also receive salvation. It came to Peter. It was revealed to him what that vision meant. And he tells, before he starts speaking to them, Peter tells this group of Gentiles, he says, You know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. So it was even unlawful, according to Jewish law, for Peter to be here with these Gentiles. But he says, "But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." And he says, "Therefore, I came to you without doubt. I listened to God through the vision, and I came here to speak with you." And he asked them, what would you like to hear? And Cornelius said that God had revealed to him to a vision that Peter was to speak to him of things concerning his kingdom. And that's the lead up to what we read here beginning in verse 34. So Peter here, in just a few verses that's recorded, he preaches unto this group of Gentiles the gospel message of Jesus Christ, how salvation is now available to the Gentiles. Your birth does not matter. Your place of birth, your line that came before you doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Salvation is now acceptable, now available, available to all. It's available to all, Jew or Gentile. And it's interesting to me that he begins this short sermon here in the opening statement in verse 35. He says, "In every nation, he that feareth him," again, in every nation, no matter who you are, "in every nation, he that feareth him, feareth God, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him." And this thought has been on my mind. We are accepted with God if we fear him. What does that thought, to fear God, really mean? We all hear it often that we are to fear God. We even pray together often for parents that the Lord would guide them and direct them to raise their children to fear the Lord and to love him. And we are accepted of God only if we fear him. So I'd like to, this afternoon, with God's help, look into the Word of God and to see, what does this fear of God mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? The Bible gives us many, many examples, many places of what it means to fear the Lord. Perhaps the most common place where this phrase comes up, fear of the Lord, is in the book of Proverbs. Much is written in Proverbs about fearing the Lord. So we can look there to see what this really means. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So we think of wisdom, not even in a spiritual sense. When we think of wisdom, we think of someone who is wise, someone who may have very much experience in life, who has lived through many things, and we would say that person is wise. We usually associate wisdom with someone being old. But in a spiritual context, that's not really the case. You can be old and not have the wisdom of the Lord. You can be young and have it, or vice versa. Wisdom of the Lord does not come with necessarily with age. It does not automatically come with age. But wisdom of the Lord, spiritual wisdom, is different than the wisdom that we typically talk about. So what is this wisdom? If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then what is wisdom? And Proverbs chapter 8, the chapter before this verse is written, speaks the entire time of wisdom. What is wisdom? And more specifically, who is wisdom? In Proverbs 8, it says that before anything else was, before anything was created, wisdom was there. In the New Testament, we read in 1 Corinthians that Christ, Jesus Christ, is both the power and the wisdom of God. So to have wisdom is to have Christ. That's what spiritual wisdom is. Not wisdom, again, as we think of it, but spiritual wisdom is having Christ, knowing Christ, understanding Him, understanding who He is, and what He has come to do for us. That is wisdom. So in the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning, the very beginning of our relationship with God is the fear of the Lord. That's what it means. Also in Proverbs 8, there are many verses that we can point to about this wisdom of God. It says, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when all things were created, wisdom was there. And we read in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, speaking about who it was that created all things. God created all things through His Son. He gave creation unto His Son. That is His wisdom that we have to learn of. God gave us His Son that we can learn of Him, learn of His ways. For we can't understand the Father. That's why He gave us His Son. We can't approach God. No one can see Him and live. We don't understand that. And God knows this. That's why He's given unto us His Son. And to fear Him, to fear the Lord, is the beginning of this wisdom that we must have, to be accepted unto Him, accepted of Him. No man can come to the Father but by Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is no other path to Him. Nor the path of the Father, but through His Son. And if we think that there is some other path, all we are doing is deceiving ourselves. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate the ways of this world, all of its lies and deception. The fear of the Lord is to hate that, and to cleave to that which is good. That's another definition of the fear of the Lord, to hate evil. It's the beginning of wisdom again, and it's also to hate evil. How can we be accepted of Him? How can we be accepted of God if we don't hate the things of this world? For again, we read in Acts chapter 10, in Peter's sermon, if we have the fear of the Lord, we are accepted of Him. We will not be accepted of Him if we do not have this fear. And if we do not have this fear, then that means we don't mind the ways of this world. We see the evil in this world, and we don't even blink an eye at it. It doesn't bother us. That means we don't love the Lord. We don't fear Him. That's another definition of the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs, again, many, many places in the Psalms and the Proverbs speak much of the fear of the Lord. A few more verses I'd like to read are in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Strong confidence in Him, not in ourselves. Fearing the Lord means having a confidence in Him, a belief that He can do anything, that He can do all things. That's what we heard in the sermon on Wednesday of who our God is. We read on Wednesday how there is one God, there was always one God, and there was never another God, and there never will be another God. That is who we serve. To fear Him means to have a strong confidence in Him and to have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Jesus says that He will give whoever wants to freely to drink of the fountain of the water of life. He has given it to us to drink from freely, without limit. If we want the water of the fountain of life, He will give it unto us. Life. It's a fountain of life. And to depart from the snares of death. That's what death is. It's a snare. It's a trap that we cannot escape from outside of Jesus Christ. So fearing the Lord is recognizing that He is that fountain of life. having that wisdom to know who Jesus is to recognize who he is and what he has to offer unto us, life, that we will not find anywhere else, only in him. In Job, is written of wisdom. Where can you find wisdom? You can't find wisdom anywhere in this earth. You can dive down deep in the oceans, it says. You can go up into very high mountains. Wisdom cannot be found. Wisdom can only be found in Jesus Christ. He is wisdom. He's the only place we can find it. Another way that we can think of fear of the Lord is literally being scared of him, being trembling at who he is. And as we opened our service, the brother led us in prayer about having a reverence for our God, reverencing him because of who he is, recognizing how holy and how great and how powerful he is. And when we recognize who he is, then we will fear him. We will have this trembling before him because we know who he is. And we know who we are, how weak we are. So to have a reverence for him, a respect, that's another definition of the fear of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 2, it speaks of the ungodly who will be in the earth in the last day, the day of judgment. Speaking of these ungodly people, it says, "And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth." So again, fearing the Lord can literally mean being scared of him, being scared of his judgment, being scared of being found without Christ. That is the fear of the Lord as well. There are many definitions of the fear of the Lord, but they all really work together. They all work together to build up a theme. And I believe that theme is reverence. That theme is reverencing God for who he is. There will be those in the last days, even as we read here in Isaiah, who will hide in the rocks, in the caves, but there will be no place of refuge for them. We read in Proverbs that having a fear of the Lord is having a refuge in him, a strong confidence and a place of refuge in him. That place of refuge in the day of judgment can only be found in the Lord. That's what it means to fear him. There will be no hiding place in this earth. There will be those who, when they see the Lamb of God come and he returns in power and in great glory, and the light will shine from the east to the west, they will see everything. The whole world will see at once. There will be those who don't want to see that coming. There will be those who hide from it. They have the fear of the Lord, but it will be too late at that point. It will be too late because they didn't live a life that was committed to service for him, and they will not be accepted of him. It's the goal of each and every one of us, I believe, to be accepted of God in the day of judgment. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't want to one day at the end of our lives, whenever that is, be accepted of him. That's our goal, our striving in life. And I believe that's the highest goal and striving in each and every one of our lives is to serve our Lord, to be with him, to be accepted of him. And in Apostle Peter's sermon to the Gentiles, he opens in this statement again. He says, we must fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is to be accepted of him. So having this fear literally of who God is can be healthy for us spiritually. In the Acts, we read how, I'll read it, in Acts chapter, I believe it's 5. Yes, Acts chapter 5, we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a possession. At that time, the church would pool together all their resources. They would sell their extra land, their extra possessions. They would come and sell those things and give money, and the church would live together off that money. And they'd kind of pool together their possessions. And Ananias and Sapphira sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price. They hid it. They hid part of that price. They laid the money at the apostles' feet, and they said, this is what we have. This is the money we got from selling our possessions. And it was revealed to the apostle Peter that they were lying, that they were not giving the full amount of money that they had received for selling their possessions. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And Ananias, hearing these words, hearing how he lied, hearing how he was judged of God, it says he fell down and gave up the ghost. And the same thing happened to his wife. His wife came in a few hours later. And Peter asked her, did you sell the plot of land for so much money? And she said, yes. And she also lied. And she also gave up the ghost. She immediately was struck dead, just as her husband was. And it says that great fear came on all them that heard these things. They feared the Lord for his judgment, his righteous judgment. No one could argue that God's judgment here was righteous. They knew it was. They knew how Ananias and Sapphira had lied. They had kept back part of the price, and they were fearful for their own lives, for their own souls. They lived in the fear of the Lord. That can be healthy. A reverence for God and realizing who he is healthy for us spiritually. Jesus even says to not to fear those on this earth who can take your life. Don't fear them. It's a fearful thought outside of Christ to give up our lives for the Lord, to die, literally to die for him. It's fearful. It's scary. But Jesus says, don't be scared of that. Because when those men finish with you, they're done. All they can do is take your life. That's it. Don't fear them, Jesus says, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Having this fear, this reverence for God and his righteous judgment. That's the relationship we have with Almighty God, to recognize that he is Almighty God and that unrighteousness and sin cannot stand before his presence. It's a serious thing. We must recognize God for who he truly is. He is the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He it is that we serve. So our service for him must be intentional, must be serious. If it's not, if our service for him is just casual, then we will reap the fruits of that which we have sowed. If we sow to the Lord a casual service, a casual attitude of our relationship with him, then we will also reap that. But if we sow in tears, then we will reap with joy, as we read in God's word. Having a seriousness and an intentional service for our God, that's what it means to fear the Lord. To recognize him for who he is, not who we think he is, not who we maybe want to think he is at times. I think there are times when we want to think of the Lord as just a buddy, and just to be there for us and to cheer us on and to always encourage us. That's how we want to think of our God, but he is also, yes, he is a friend of ours, but he is a true friend. And what a true friend does is tell us stuff that we don't want to hear at times. That's the relationship we have to have with Almighty God. He wants to be our friend, but he's also the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who would judge us for our deeds that we have done, for the things that we have spoken. This relationship with him can't just stop it as a buddy-buddy relationship. It has to go into reverence, into fear, trembling before him. When we have that fear and trembling before God for who he is, that's when we can grow. That's when we can grow in our relationship with him. That's when we can grow in wisdom. That's when we can grow in service for him. When we recognize that he is the Almighty God and we are nothing before him. We are from the dust of the earth, and to the dust of the earth we shall return. That is promised to us. And we all know that is true. But we must recognize him and reverence God's name most holy, is what we sing in the Zion's harp. Reverencing God's name most holy. That's the life, that's the manner of life that we must live here on this earth. To reverence him, to reverence our Almighty God, who has done everything for us, who's created us again from the dust of the earth, for his glory, to bring about his glory, that we would serve him. Are there times when we have a casual attitude about coming into his house, when we have a casual attitude about looking into his word? Do we find time for everything else except to look into God's word? Do we find time to watch the TV series, the latest TV series? Do we find time to watch the latest movie that just came out of Hollywood? Do we find time for those things? Do we find time to watch the game this weekend? Do we find time for those things and then leave out God and just say, oh, God understands I'm busy. I need to relax after work. I don't have time to look into his word. God understands. We can write that off and just say, God understands that I'm busy and I'm tired, I'm stressed, I need to let loose. God understands. God understands if I listen to some music I shouldn't to, because it de-stresses me. Is that our attitude? If that's our attitude before Almighty God, then we do not have that fear of him. We don't recognize him for who he is. We think that he's going to brush off our sinful behavior as if it's nothing. We think he's going to brush it off and forget about it. God will forget our sins. He promises us that. He says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God will remove our transgressions from us. That is true, but only if we repent of them, only if we live an intentional life of service for him. Then he will remove our transgressions from us. Then he will wash us in the blood of the Lamb and make us pure to stand before him So that God, when God looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees his Son. That's our ultimate goal and striving in life. To be found without blemish and without spot. That's what having the fear of the Lord means. Having the fear of the Lord means to understand who he is and to look into God's word and to learn from him as much as we can. That we'd understand more, learn more about him. Are we content? Are we content with knowing the gospel message? Are we content with knowing, yes, Jesus died for me, yes, he gave his life for me, and he rose again the third day, and now I'm clean? Is that the extent? Do we want to go deeper? Do we want to understand more? Do we want to grow in wisdom? God will see that. He will see the intents of our hearts. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He knows how true our service is for him. He knows how high of a reverence we have or don't have for him. And he wants us to have a reverence for him. He is a jealous God who will not accept us, who will not accept that we serve someone else. He will not accept that our praise goes to another. For God knows, even as we've read on Wednesday night, God knows who he is. He knows the service that is due to him, and he will not accept anything less than our full service for him. We read in the New Testament that to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, that is our reasonable service. When we think of all that Jesus Christ has done for us in becoming that curse for us, dying the death that we deserved, when we think about all that he has done for us, he helps us every day, leads us and guides us. When we think of all those things, all we can say is amen to that verse where it says our reasonable service, the thing that is reasonable for us to do in return to the Lord for all that he's done for us, is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice for him. That everything we do would be with an intent to serve him. Can we say that everything we do is with the intent to bring about glory for our God? If not, then it says we will not be accepted of him in the day of judgment. So how we will feel in the day of judgment completely depends on whether we've had that fear for him or not. There will be some, we read, when the Lamb returns and that light shines across the whole world, there will be many who will rejoice in that day, who rejoice that the Lord has come to redeem them. And there will be many that will hide in the caves and the clefts of the rock, trying to save themselves from the destruction that they know they deserve. They will be hiding because they know that they are not ready to meet the Lord, and he has come. It will be too late. So at that time, fear the Lord is too late. Let's fear him while we yet have days. Let's fear him for who he is. We are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. Let's never forget that, but let's give God the glory that he is worthy of. Let's fear him while we have the days in this earth so that when he returns, we would be found in him. When God returns, when Jesus returns, we don't want to have fear of him at that point. We want to rejoice with him, for he is going to take us home. And he will take us home to be with him. The Bible promises us that if we have lived the life in service for him, not for ourselves. Let's not be casual about how we serve our God. Let's not be casual about how we look into his word. Let's not be casual about our attendance at church services. Let's not be casual about anything. Casualness is what the devil loves. He loves us to have a casual attitude, a thought that, oh, the Lord understands that I'm weak. The Lord understands. Yes, the Lord understands who we are. He understands us better than we know ourselves. Every thought that we have, God knew it before we even had that thought. That is how much higher he is and how much he understands us. God understands everything about us, but he also understands that our service for him at times can be far greater than what it is. And that starts with me first, for each and every one of us. God knows those times when we could have used to serve him and we chose not to because something else was more important. The game or the latest movie, that was more important to us. God will see that and he will require that of us in the day of judgment. Let's fear the Lord daily. Give him the glory that only he is worthy of. May God bless his word on our hearts. Amen.